So we saw yesterday a machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon learned that there must be sheva hakiris, seven questions of investigation. Rabbi Yossi says no, there only needs to be three. The three main questions, without going into much detail, Rabbi Yossi says all you need to ask is what day, what time, and where. After that, you don't need to go into further detail. So Rabbi Yossi quizzed the Rabbonon. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't understand. According to you, the Rabbonon, how can you say that as a general rule, you always need to ask seven questions? After all, there could very likely be a scenario where somebody comes to Beis Din and says, you know, yesterday there was a murder. But once he says that, he's already told you which week, and which month, and which year. So most of the questions are totally irrelevant. So why do you hold that you need seven questions? To which the Rabbonon turned around to Rabbi Yossi and says, I don't understand. Why are you any better? After all, we can design another scenario. If two Edim come running into Bez and they say, we just this second saw a murder. So once again, if it's just this second, well, obviously they couldn't have seen it in America, they're here. It was obviously today. It was obviously just now. I mean, what's there to ask? So even the three questions are redundant. So why are you homing in on a scenario in which the Edim says it happened yesterday and some of the questions become redundant? So you don't understand why you need seven. But even in your list of three, there could be cases where you don't need the three either. So why is your list any better than our list? So have a look at the Gemara. The first word on the line, it's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Gemara, Omru Loi. Omru Loi. Omru Loi Lidvarecho. So the Rabbonon said to Rabbi Yossi, Lidvarecho, according to your words, even according to your position, Mishabo. If somebody comes, the aid comes to Bezin, Va'omar Achshav. Hargoy, not yesterday, but Achshav, this second. Oimer loy, would we still have to say to him, Be'ezei yoyim, Be'ezei shah, Be'ezei mokoyim? Why is any of that necessary? After all, if they say it happened Achshav, well, if it happened now, it must have happened right over here in this place. We know the date, we know the time, we know the year, what's there to ask? Hello. So what must be the answer? The way that we're going to answer your list is the exact same way that we can answer our list as well. Hello, Afal Gav Deloitte. Sorry. So it must be that yes, even though there's no necessity to ask the three questions, why? Because I know all of the answers already, but nonetheless, Ramino Noleho. We still throw those questions onto them. Why? What would be the point? Could Rav Shimon ben Elazar, in accordance with Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, you might well remember, we learned this in the last parak, Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that besides for the thorough investigation of the Edim, but we also try to an extent to send them out of their mind. And we drag them from one city to another, go to this bezin, go to that bezin, go to this bezin. So we're doing absolutely everything, as it were, to drive them crazy. So that eventually, out of sheer frustration or exhaustion, they're going to contradict themselves, and that way we can save the accused. So therefore, says the Rabbonon, why is Rabbi Yossi saying you've got to answer, you've always got to ask three questions, even though in some scenarios it's unnecessary? The answer is you're right. It's unnecessary with regard to the fact that I already know the information. But I still, nevertheless, do pose the questions like Rav Shimon ben Elazar in order to exhaust them, just to quiz them and quiz them and quiz them. But if that's the case, we can say the exact same theory in the opinion of the Rabbonon. Yes, we can design a scenario like yesterday there was a murder, which would l'chaira mean that most of the questions become redundant. We nonetheless ask them. So what day was it? And what year was it? And again, what day was it? And what year is it? And again, what day was it? And we just ask and ask and ask for the sake of trying to trip them up. So therefore, whatever works as an answer for Rabbi Yossi works as an answer for us as well. If that's the case, Hochanami, therefore so too, according to the Rabbonon, Afal Gav Deloy Tzarich, even though it's true, technically I might not need to ask the question why, because actually I know the answer already. Because if they say, we saw the murder yesterday, well, most of our questions have already been answered. But nonetheless, Raminon Aleo, Kudom Shimon Ben Elazar. So the Chayra seems a very fair teretz that the Rabbanon answered Rabbi Yossi. So what was Rabbi Yossi's question? Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi, says that no, it's not comparable. Emesh Hargoi. In a case of yesterday there was a murder, that's Shchiach Baroiv Eduyos. That's quite a common scenario. That's quite a common scenario. So if it's quite a common scenario, it's not like some far-fetched case. But Achshav Horogoy, but for the Edom to come into the Beis Din and say, we just saw a murder now, this minute, well, that's quite rare. Loi Shchiach Baroiv Eduyos. That's not very common in most Edos. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, that's what I meant to ask you. The fact that you managed to find one particular, very far-fetched, not very common case in which the questions would be redundant, okay, so be it. I don't mind asking all of the questions because in 95% of the cases, they are relevant. What did you manage to dig up? You managed to dig up a case where they're not relevant, but that's not shchiach, so it doesn't bother me so much. Whereas the question that I asked you about yesterday there was a murder, well, that's very common. That's a very common scenario. Somebody would see a murder and then the next morning he goes to Beis Din. So therefore, the question that Rabbi Yossi says I asked the Rabbonon is not some far-fetched scenario. Why would you ask seven questions in this very weird case? It's not such a weird case. It's a very common case. But to come into Beis Din and say, we just saw a murder 10 seconds ago, here and now, that's quite rare. Says Rashi, Kereb Shimon ben Elazar lahatrichom, in order to be matriach them, in order to exert them from here, there, and everywhere. The Omar, because we said early on in the Masechta, Masiyin hoyu, they used to drag eso edim mi mokim le mokim, from one place to another. For what purpose? Kedei shetitorev daito yalein. In order they should become mitorev daito, they should lose their minds, as it were, the yachzeru bohen, and eventually they will rescind their edus. They'll be caught up and they'll be tripped and they'll say, fine, okay, I rescind the edus. Therefore, that's the same thing over here as well. Even though factually there might not actually be a necessity to ask the questions because I know the answers already, I nonetheless ask them again and again and again, even though it's very overwhelmingly obvious, just like I drag them from place to place. Now, what the Gemara did not deal with is a question that somebody asked yesterday, is that the Rabbonon, after all, learned that the Shevach HaKiros are all derived from Psukim. Rabbonon didn't just make up an arbitrary number seven. So Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees with the Rabbonon, and they say, no, there's only three questions, we're going to have to say, even though the Gemara does not relate to it, that clearly they did not make those droshas. Like we've said many, many times, Tanoim didn't just go around making up droshes. It's what they were makabel, the Masoiris, Rav, Mipirav, Mipirav, Mipirav. So Rabbi Yossi clearly did not have that Masoiris. He does not see anything significant in the words of Dorashto and Chokarata or Heitev, or even if he does, maybe he makes a different drosha. Either way, he does not make the drosha of the Rabbonon. You only therefore need three questions. Yes.
I was under the impression, unless I'm wrong, that a guy is accused of murder, then they look for Edim who maybe saw it, and then they bring the Edim. Now you're saying that Edim come and initiate the case? That's right. How it works?
100%. Edim come to Beis Din, we would like to report the following. Okay. Let's hear. Let's investigate. Okay, we move on, Rabbi Yisai. Makirem atem oisai. If you remember, this was the continuation of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yossi told us that there are other questions that could be asked. Do you know the person? Was he a Yid? Was he a goy? Did you give him hasra? If you're accusing him of idol worship, what exactly was the idol worship? What type of avodah zarah? What type of worship? Etc. 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 Zok de'elega gemara. Makirim atem oisoi. Did you recognize him? What does that mean? Tonu rabbanon. Makirim atem oisoi. Did you recognize the person whom you claim was killed? In other words, if two Edim come to Beis Din and they say, "We absolutely saw Reuven commit a murder," that's not enough. We need to know who the victim was. Why? Says the Gemara, Nochri Horag or Yisrael Horag. Did he kill a Jew or did he kill a non-Jew? If the Edim say, "Well, to be perfectly honest, we didn't actually see the person who was killed. We just saw the murder." Okay, that's it. Case adjourned. Because we cannot possibly obviously put somebody to death when maybe he killed a goy. You're only chayav misa if you kill a yid. So therefore, that's what we mean. Did you recognize the victim? Was he Jewish or not Jewish? That's one question. Another question. Hisraisem boy question mark. Did you give a hasra? As we know, we're going to see this at great length coming up in the Gemara. The number one rule of putting anybody to death, and for that matter, any other punishments, is there must be a hasra. So again, it's all fine and well to say you testified about a murder and you have all the details straight, but if you're missing that element of hasra, then it's all worthless. Question number three, Kibel Olav Hasra. Was he Mekabel that Hasra? What does that mean? Was he Mekabel Hasra? Look at Rashi. Did he say, Yoideya Ani? Yes, I understand. I'm fully aware now. Shekein Ani Muzhar. Yes, indeed, I'm instructed. Shaloi Lasso is not to do this. In other words, maybe indeed you gave him a hasra, maybe he didn't fully accept it or understand it or didn't follow what you were saying. You gave a hasra, what language? Swahili. Well, he's not a native Swahilian. So very nice you gave a hasra. Was he fully aware of what you were saying? Did he say, yes, you're Dayani, I understand, right? You're telling me that if I am Mechallel Shabbos, there will be the following consequence. Because if not, and again, the fact that you gave a hasra is useless. Says the Gemara, another question. Hitir atzmoy. Was he matir himself? Did he free himself to death? What does that mean? Did he free himself to death? Look at Rashi on the fourth bottom line. Hitir atzmoy lemisa. When you gave him this hasra, when you warned him and you said, Al tavoy, do not transgress this particular aveira, sha'atom mischayev misa ploinis, quote unquote, because if you do, you'll be chayev the following death penalty. That's what you said to him. So the Beis Din say, excuse me, who oimer, did he rescind, did he answer back, Al manas kein ani oiser? Yes, I'm fully aware, and it's with this in mind that I'm nonetheless going to be Mechallel Shabbos. The Gemara we'll see on the next Omer. If he was not mafkir, this is very similar to the last question. Did he fully accept the Hasra? Did he understand it? But not only did he understand it, did he express verbally that with this knowledge in mind, I'm nonetheless going to Mechallel Shabbos? Basically, he's suicidal. He's being told absolutely categorically that if he's Mechallel Shabbos, he's going to be Chayav Misa. Did he turn around and say, I understand that? Nonetheless, I'm going to Mechallel Shabbos. Says the Gemara.
What exactly is the difference in those two?
We'll see. We'll see more in the Gemara. One is just, I understood it. I understood. I'm a Kabbal. I know of the consequences. The other one is, Ba'al Das Kein, I'm going to do the Aveir.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question?
Yes, for sure.
Let's say somebody warns him and says, you know, if you do this, you're going to get chenek. And he says, okay. Oh, I didn't know I was going to get Srefa. You didn't tell me Skila. You told me Fennec.
Right, that's not our throw, nothing happens to him. He's
Well,
got to
easy.
be told the exact punishment, the correct punishment that he's destined to give.
So even if he's told he's going to be killed, but if it's not in the same way, it's not. Wow.
Yeah, another question coming up. Hey, miss, betoich kirei dibur. There's another halacha. Even if you give hasra, but who's to say that this accused remembered the hasra? Yes, we gave him hasra. Yes, he accepted it. Yes, he's going to do the Aveira anyway, but he did it 2 hours later, by which time he might turn around to say, whoops, I forgot about the hasra. Sorry, I have short-term memory loss. So the only case that we say that Hasra works is when he commits the act immediately after the Hasra. What's immediately after the Hasra? Toich kedei dibur. Toich kedei dibur. Like we know, we have this concept in many, many areas of halacha. Toich kedei dibur is the time it says to say Shalom Alecho, Moiri v'Rebbi, not very long, a couple of seconds. So therefore, once again, if we're quizzing the Eidim, that's not sufficient to say, did you give Hasra? Did he accept it, etc., etc.? But when and how soon after the Hasra was the Aveira committed? Was it Teich Kedei Dibur or not? Says Rashi, Hey, miss, but Teich Kedei Dibur, Kedei She'elas Shalom. In the time that you could be Shoyel B'Shalom, Shalom Alecho, She'im Shoho La'acha Hasra, Yoyse Mechidei Dibur. Because if he delayed after the Hasra more than this time called Toich Kedei Dibur, which admittedly is not very long, just a few seconds, Ikalameima, then we can always say, Shekvar Shochach Hasra, maybe he forgot about the Hasra. So therefore, this is another critical question we have to ask the Edim. There's no way that we can put the accused to death, even if you gave him a Hasra, if there's any possibility that maybe he forgot the Hasra. The only case in which we can be guaranteed that, in fact, he did not forget the Hasra is when he did the act straight away. How soon? Toich kedei dibur. Next question. Or if you're accusing him of being Oved Avodah Zarah, I'm sorry, that is too vague. Why is it too vague? Because I need to ask. What do you mean he served Avodah Zarah? Please go into more details. Esmi Ovad. Which Avodah Zarah did he serve? The Pa'or Ovad. The Markoilis Ovad. All different types of Avodah Zarah. Not only that, not only do I need to know which Avodah Zarah, but I need to know which type of service to the Avodah Zarah. Ubameh Ovad. And what type of service was it? Was it the zibuach? By the word zevach, zvochim. Did he sacrifice something, an animal? Was it bekitur, like ktores, incense? Was it benisuch, like nesochim, libations, wine, etc.? Was it b'shtachavo? Was it bowing down? I need to know details. Obviously, again, the more details, the more they can be tripped up. So if one says, yes, we saw him bowing down, the other one says, no, we saw him sacrificing an animal, finished. The Eidos is thrown out. That's hakosher. They're not in line.
Does the act have to line up with which Avodah Zarah it is?
Some cases, yeah, because in some cases, Avodah Zarah, there is a specific type of Avodah that pertains to that Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah discusses this. There are some general services, which are the ones that we just mentioned now. And there are some specific services to that Avodah Zarah.
So
So
if
therefore,
he's found bowing down when he should have been doing something
no,
else.
bowing down, the case, all the examples mentioned in the Gemara now are common to all Avodah Zarah. In addition, for example, in Markoilis, if I remember correctly, bizarre as this may strange as this sounds, but the Avodah Zarah could include throwing stones at the Avodah Zarah. But that's not common to Pa'or. So for the Gemara didn't mention it. The Gemara mentioned the classic service, bowing down, libation, sacrifice, ktoires, etc. But yes, but Avodah Zarah's, the Baal Pa'or is the most disaster Avodah Zarah. Baal Pa'or, a person would literally defecate in front of the Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, the more of the bizoyan that it was, the better that was considered to be the service of Avodah Zarah. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has an entire piece in his Sefer to try and understand this. What on earth is the attraction? What is the mashicha of this type of Avodah Zarah? I don't know, bowing down, I can understand, the Ketores, some sort of self-sacrifice. But to behave like that, to use the Avodah Zarah as your local bathroom, what type of service to Avodah Zarah is? What is the mashicha? What's the taiva? What's the Yetzirah to go with Avodah Zarah like that? So he has a very lengthy piece, which introduces us to a terrific insight, and that is the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'or is I have no limitations, I have no boundaries, I just let myself go and act like an animal. That is the Mashiach. A person does not like to be governed. You've got to behave like this, I've got to do this, it's not befitting, it's not covered. Baal Pa'or means just let yourself go and act like an animal in the street. That is the Mashiach. And unfortunately, we see, therefore, a lot of Avodah Zarah Baal Pa'or nowadays, where people literally act like animals.
Rebbe, the incidents in the Torah where people killed other Jews, L'shem Shemayim, like Pinchas, and or the Shiftei Kar that wanted to kill Yosef because he was a Chayiv Misa, whatever, but there was no Hasra. There was no, you know, so how does that all work?
So, okay, so the whole sugi will learn from Goyim don't need Hasra. We'll get to that in the session. The whole Matan Torah could be that Halach of Goyim. Pinchas was a different story. That's also a sugi later on in this Masechta. Kanoim Poigim Boy. Kanoim Poigim Boy is one of the halachas that you don't need Hasra. There are exceptions. By the way, the very next sugi that we're about to start in a few seconds is in fact the sugi of Hasra. But there are exceptions. Either way, this is the Yisoid of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, so there is a tremendous attraction. There is a Mashiach, there's a tremendous Yetzirah of, I'd like to behave with no limitations. I'd like to just do what I like, behave like an animal, let myself go. Which, by the way, is a timely message in Parashas Kisetze of last week's Parasha. The opening Parasha in Parashas Kisetze is the Parasha that we know of, Eishes Yifas Toyar, which is one of the only exceptions in the Torah. There's another case, but it's a very, very strange sounding parasha where Rashi famously tells us that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, as it were, a concession because we know you're going to have a Yetzirah. Lo yidibra Torah, elo keneged Yetzirah. Person goes to war, he's going to have a Yetzirah, so the Torah made a special dispensation. So Chaim Shulevitz points out that even though the Torah extremely rarely, very, very rarely, made this special concession with the understanding that a person's very weak at a time of war and he needs to give in to his tithers. But if you look in Eishes Yifas Toyah, look how many halachas there are. The Torah does not say, if you see Eishes Yifas Toyah, fine, okay, Samaria. Oh, take her home, and her nails and her hand, she has to cry, she's by your door in 30 days. Why so many halachas? There's another example, which some of you who have been with us for a while will remember. When we learn Masechta's Makos, as we know, if somebody kills B'shogeg, he has to go to Ori Miklot. But the Goyel Hadam, the close relative, is allowed to kill, again, even without Hasra, etc., is allowed to kill this person who killed the Shegig. And the Loshon of the Torah is Yecham Levovoi. His heart is warmed up. This is another exception of a person that is so boiled up over the fact that his relative was killed, albeit the Shegig, the Torah gave him a special dispensation. Well, we all know, we learned an entire perek that deals with this subject. Why is it so complicated? The Torah didn't say, well, if you're all boiled up, so take a knife and kill him. No, it comes with 100 halachas. So here we have two cases, says Reb Chaim, where the Torah indeed has made, as it were, a special allowance for the fact There are extenuating circumstances, very rare cases in which a person has an extreme Yetzer Hara to the extent that he can't overcome it, and therefore the Torah has made an allowance, and yet they both come with a whole bunch, a whole lengthy strings of halachas attached. Why? In order to teach us this message, a person is always an Eved Hashem. There's no such thing as, okay, if you get all boiled up, then basically you can be like a Baal Po'er, just let yourself go and end up like a wild animal and kill somebody. Or Eishes Yifas Toya, because you're in a weak moment, fine, do what you like, just act like an animal. No. Even when the Torah made an allowance, an exception to the rule, but it comes with halachas attached, you have to remember you're an Eved Hashem, you're not an Oved of Baal Po'er. Baal Po'er literally says, let me behave like an animal with zero limitations. Literally like an animal would defecate in the middle of the street. That's the attraction. So even in the event where the Torah made exceptions and said, yes, you're allowed to actually commit murder, or you're allowed to commit what seems to be immorality, yes, there are exceptions, but they come with a whole bunch of strings attached. You have to realize and remember and feel, even at these weak moments, the Torah has made an allowance, you have to still be an Eved Hashem, you have to abide by the rules.
Isn't that the whole Indian in a certain way of the soldiers have to carry a shovel in the field because if they have to, there's the halacha and how a Jew is supposed to behave if he has to go, shouldn't.
Right. The great Rosh Hashiva, Baruch Ba'a Leibovitz, Shiva of Kamenitz, the great Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisker, strangely used to very often ask his Rebbetzin to prepare for him dafka, a meaty meal. Not milky, meaty meal. And somebody once asked him, if you don't mind me asking, so Rosh Hashiva so such a meat lover, have to indulge and have a nice whole big fleishiga meal. And Rav Baruch Ba'a answered a phenomenal answer, and he says, no, that's not why I ask her to make me a meaty meal because I like the taste, but rather, when I have a meaty meal, then I know that for 6 hours, I feel more intensely in Eved Hashem. I can't just eat what I like. After I eat meat, for 6 hours, there's a constant reminder I'm in Eved Hashem. No, I can't eat cheese, and I can't eat milk, and I can't eat anything to do with Cholov. That's why he says, I request a fleishig meal. I like to feel, I like to have this constant reminder in a very real way that I am an Eved Hashem. Okay, back to our subject. Let's just make a brief start to the next sugya, and then we'll continue it, Bezos Hashem Yisbarach, next time. Omar Ula, a very important sugya now. Minayin lahasra minatoiro. Where does it say in the Torah that you need to give hasra? And the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk shenema. We'll see. Now, we need to press pause. Why indeed does there exist a concept of Hasra in the first place? So we actually saw this much, much, much early on in the Masechta, and Daf Ches on the base. The Gemara says, Loi nitan lahasra. Hasra was only given elo lahavchin in order to be able to discern between Shegeg and Mezud. The person's not given Hasra, then he may well be a Shegeg. Yes, he's committing murder. Yes, he's being Mechalel Shabbos. Yes, he's serving Avodah Zarah. Maybe he didn't know that there's an Issa. Or maybe he knew that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos and he didn't realize that today was Shabbos. He thought today was Tuesday. Or maybe he knew you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos and he knew that today was Shabbos. I didn't realize that putting cold water on an electric hot plate, I didn't realize that that constitutes Bishul. I thought only if you put it on an open flame. So there could be many, many, many reasons why a person could genuinely say, I'm sorry, I was a shogeg, I had no idea, either of the facts or the halacha. So hasra, therefore, is always in order to eliminate any possibility of him turning around and say, sorry, I was a shogeg. That is the function of hasra. So much so that the Gemara says early on in the Masechta, and Mr. Shem will discuss this more next time, Mr. Shem, that a chover, what's a chover? A chover is a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham, actually, according to one opinion, it's Machlokes, does not need Hasra. Why does he not need Hasra? Because he's a Talmud Chacham. There's no way that he can turn around and say, Yes, I didn't realize you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. That's a very poor excuse. Of course, you realized. Now, this needs discussion. We'll have to discuss this next time because, however big a Talmud Chacham he is, but you still can get confused as to which day of the week this is. If you're dealing with a mistake, a halachic mistake, then I can understand. Somebody who's considered a Talmud Chacham cannot possibly turn around and say, oh, I didn't know you're allowed to cook on Shabbos. But if we're worried not just for a halachic mistake, but for a practical mistake, and he says, oh, sorry, I completely realized, I didn't realize that Shabbos wasn't out yet. I looked at my calendar and it said the Shabbos is out at 7 o'clock. I didn't realize that actually I was looking at the wrong week and Shabbos is only out at 8 o'clock. No, a chava can make that mistake as well. So why would a chava not need hasra? He's as likely to make a potential factual mistake as an amoretz. A halachic mistake, that's different. So we'll have to see you next time. There's the Tosas and the Rashi. Bez Hashem Yisborach. We'll see you this next time in the session.
So, Rebbe, hypothetically, any one of us who knows the basic halachas of Shabbos, right? So, whatever, we turn on a light on Shabbos, right, on
Bez Hashem.
purpose, whatever. But no, and we know we're not allowed to do it. But if nobody came and told us at that moment, you know, before you turn on that light, you're not allowed to turn on that light, and with all those things, even though it's a common knowledge, it's not Chayav Misa.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
So
Okay.
how would somebody be able to want someone in his own, in the privacy of his own home, of being called Shabbos? Nobody, you know, it's like, who sees you when you're.
It has to be done in public with Adam, Bahasra, etc., etc. Okay, we'll see more about this next time, Mitzvah Hashem. Meanwhile,